On the under $3 menu at McDonald's, the sausage burrito is $2. So dip, drizzle, or douse to your heart's desire. Because no matter how you sauce your sausage burrito, it's still just $2 with McValue.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now let's turn to what's happened across the water. British Prime Minister Keir Starmer announcing his resignation as Prime Minister. I think we can take a listen. This is Keir Starmer speaking outside 10 Downing Street a little earlier.
The question my party is asking now is whether I am best placed to lead us into the next general election. I have heard the answer of my parliamentary party to that question, and I accept that answer with good grace. Every decision I've taken has been about putting the country I love first. That is why I will resign as leader of the Labour Party.
Okay, that was him announcing his resignation a little earlier today. For more on this, we're joined by the experienced journalist, Philip Webster. Philip, thanks indeed for talking to us, as always. Is this looking like a straightforward coronation now of Andy Burnham, who basically, I think, took the train down from Manchester today and signed in as a, if that's the right term, as an MP today? Is it a coronation? Will we have a new Prime Minister by July 16th, do you think?
Yes, I think we will. Andy Burnham signed in today, as you say, had a rather ill-fitting jacket on. I don't think he's used to wearing jackets at the moment, but you have to get used to that in the House of Commons, particularly if you're being introduced. And he had a rather large tie as well. But yes, I think there's little doubt now that it'll be a coronation. It's almost a waste of time waiting until then. But I think Keir Starmer is keen to do the NATO summit on July the 7th. So nominations open for any leadership candidate, challenger who wants to go for it on the 9th and closes on the 16th. Now, if only Andy Burnham, with his 81 MPs backing him, that's all he needs, is on the ballot paper, and he's the only one on the ballot paper, I think he'll be off to the palace rather quickly. Starmer will go off to say farewell, and then Burnham will go up there rather shortly. I don't know of any other, there are other names out there, but I can't see there's any gain for anyone challenging Burnham, because he's going to win, and he's going to win so easily. There's little point in it.
Is it fair to say as well that probably the last thing the UK needs right now is a long, drawn-out period of navel-gazing by the Labour Party?
Yeah, I mean, whether we'll still get it, I don't know. But it's already gone a little bit quiet today, because people are accepting that, you know, Starnham's had his train journey down, he's had his taxi ride, and he's been introduced, say, after the very emotional and rather sad farewell of Keir Starmer earlier this morning. Burnham's arrival has been the big moment of the day. Wes Streeting pulled out and backed Burnham. I presume they've done a deal. I presume there'll be something in it for Wes. We don't quite know what that will be, but that's the way politics works. And he's guaranteed a place, a senior place in Burnham's cabinet, without a doubt. We'll see what that job is a little later on, I think.
A lot of talk behind the scenes of Keir Starmer raging and fuming at what he saw as betrayal by those around him. But to be fair to him, it was a very dignified exit today, quite a human. Showed a more human side to him that maybe we haven't seen that much of over the last 2 years.
I think if he'd only shown the kind of emotion, he's obviously... people who know him well say that he is quite an emotional person. And, you know, even on the football pitch, he gets very worked up with colleagues who are not up to the mark, a bit like Burnham, actually, who I've played with and against many, many times. But so he does. There is an emotion there, but he seems to have thought that being part of Prime Minister was not to show it. And I think if he only had done, you know, the things might have turned out a little bit more differently than him. He accepted the situation, as he said, with good grace. I know from talking to people who do know him extremely well and who've spoken to him recently, he does feel very fed up by being let down by people he thought were his, you know, immovable allies, really. He's not even been given 2 years. And to be honest, I think the British public, although they didn't love Starmer at all, are a little bit shocked at seeing another prime minister with a landslide majority out on his ear in less than 2 years. You know, I don't think this goes down very well at all with British voters.
What kind of Prime Minister will Andy Burnham be, do you think? Because, I mean, you've heard all the jokes about how flexible he has been in terms of ideology over the years. I suppose a huge amount, we'll probably be able to tell a huge amount by who he appoints as his Chancellor, or is that reading too much into that decision?
No, I think that is a key decision. I wrote a piece in one of the Sunday papers this morning about his football skills and saying that he often drifted to the left and drifted to the right. So I got another joke out of that. But Andy, that's the biggest job. That's the biggest appointment he has to make. And there is no doubt that he is very close to Ed Miliband, former leader of the Labour Party. And a week ago, I think Ed Miliband was the favourite to be Chancellor. But since then, not only has the city reacted rather badly to that thought, but the left wing of the Labour Party has as well.
Yeah, and I was Sharon surprised Graham. By that, because the markets, I get, I understand why they wouldn't want Miliband. Why did the left of the Labour Party not want him?
Well, it's particularly Sharon Graham, who's the leader of the Unite Union. And there is a feeling that Ed Miliband, as you know, is the net zero secretary at the moment. And he is seen as being opposed to more North Sea oil and gas exploration. And a lot of Unite workers are in that field. And the Unite is basically saying that Miliband is going to cost us jobs. And I would be very surprised if the new putative leader or putative prime minister doesn't take note of that. I think Miliband will get a big job, but if he were to get chancellor, that would be very, very, very controversial now. Maybe he'll be deputy prime minister. Who knows?
Okay, it would certainly be a risk. Can I ask you as well, I suppose it's less relevant to the immediately to the job, but I think it is still worth mentioning as well. I know technically Boris Johnson was baptised as a Catholic, I think, before turning Anglican, but I think I'm right in saying this is the first Catholic Prime Minister that the UK will have had. The significance of that, or is there any significance to it in this day and age?
He talks quite a bit about his Catholicism. I think I'm not sure it has any deep implications as to the way the country is going to be run. Mm. But you know, his mum was Irish, and he therefore, and his father was from Liverpool. There's a big Irish population in Liverpool and in Manchester, where he's been mayor for the last 9 years. As I say, he talks about his Catholicism. I don't think it's the driving force in his life. I think becoming prime minister is probably that.
Seemed to be.
But yes, he's, you know, he was from the Blair school initially. He was a Blairite and he's moved, but he's a Blairite at heart. He was very strongly in favour of the Good Friday Agreement, and he's very much in favour of close ties with Ireland. So I don't think we're going to see much of a change in government policy there. But interesting, he's been interviewed quite a bit about his Catholicism and, you know, how it has affected his politics of wanting to help the community, looking after individuals. And he's made quite a bit of that.
Final question. He will become the seventh prime minister that the UK has had since the Brexit vote 10 years ago. As a long-time journalist, as a long-time commentator on British politics, does it worry you the level of change, the level of instability that has been there in that past decade? You know, the British politics has been kind of viewed across the world as a kind of a bastion of stability, the mother of parliaments, etc. Does that worry you that that has changed?
It does worry me. I think it's absolutely awful. I mean, as I say with Starmer, you know, is he being removed from office because he lacks charisma? I mean, there was a reason for Boris Johnson being removed. I suppose there was a reason for Liz Truss being removed. She probably shouldn't have been picked in the first place. But to go through prime ministers at this rate does, I mean, we used to laugh, didn't we, about the rate at which Italy seemed to turn over its prime ministers. I think we're way ahead of them now in the speed of it. And it doesn't make us look good. I mean, Donald Trump was out there yesterday announcing Starmer's resignation before Starmer had even let anybody hint to the world outside that he was about to do it. We are in danger of looking ungovernable. And there are all kinds of reasons for that. You know, the state of the country, the cost of living, COVID, you know, the fallout from Brexit. All of those things have affected it. And the speed of social media, the speed the press has got used to changing you know, prime ministers every couple of years now. And I must admit they've, even though I'm one of them, the press of at the moment has really gone at this one with great abandon.
Philip Webster, as always, thank you for talking to The Hard Shoulder this evening.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With Kia.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.